Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the What Fulfills You podcast, or welcome if it is your first time tuning in. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's solo episode, I am sharing and diving into my personal insights as a reflection with my recent 27th birthday. And it's something that I've been doing ever since my 25th birthday 2 years ago, where I share a certain number of insights. So usually I will base it off of the year or like the age I'm turning. So for 25, I chose 5 insights, and for my 26th, I chose 6, and then this year I'm choosing 7. And I took some time to think about what some of these core lessons are, especially because I know a lot of you who listen are roughly in your early mid-20s as well, and a good amount of you, actually, from what I know, also are, you know, younger and developing, and probably in a position that I once was in, where I was just seeking to hear insights and wisdom from people that were just a few years older than me and more or less just had more life experience and more developed life experience. And so it's something that I love to share. And if you listened to the previous birthday episodes, some of these lessons might overlap, some of these might have swapped out. But either way, I just wrote it down based on what I felt was aligned with my reflection and where I'm at. And fun fact, I actually shared this on yesterday's email. So for those of you who want to be subscribed and get a weekly email from me with personal insights, it's actually a whole weekly email newsletter that's just me sharing my personal insights on all things either career, life, relationships, a little bit of everything, personal stories. You can subscribe. There is a direct link in the show notes, or you can simply head to my Instagram. It's always in any of my link in bios, either podcast Instagram or my personal one. So I think you guys would love the email if you've been a listener of the podcast for a while. But that being said, let me just dive into the 7 pieces of wisdom I have as a reflection of my 27 years of living. So in no particular order, my first core lesson is that relationships are everything. This lesson for me occurred when I was 20 years old, I would say. Shared the story many times, but this is relevant for those of you who haven't heard it before, or maybe have only heard it once in the past. Went through a college breakup. We were together for, in total, for about 3.5, close to 4 years. And we had a breakup in the middle of those 4 years being together. And the breakup was about 8 months. And this person broke up with me because at the time, I had a lot of unhealthy, undeveloped behavior, was reactive, emotional, more irrational, not pragmatic, and the pendulum swung. I think after that, I went through a lot of growth. I was stunned by the breakup. I also was still, you know, in love with the person. I still loved the person. I still felt like there was a relationship to be completed for us, which is why we ended up back together. But all of that to say, in those 8 months, after being broken up with, and then after transferring to a new school during that time specifically, I had an opportunity to start from ground zero. I went to a new school. I didn't have friends yet, although I transferred into the sorority that I was already in. I was a former Delta Gamma. I guess I shouldn't say former. I guess technically I always am a Delta Gamma, but a Delta Gamma alum. And my new school, Chapman University, they also had a chapter there, and I was able to seamlessly join, but I still had to make new friends, right? Everyone already has their friend groups and whatnot. And my life started to shift big time once I realized that, number one, I was very unhappy and unfulfilled because I had literally no connection. I had no deep connection. I had no one to go to in life to talk about these deeper things. And it was a blessing at the time. And for that awareness and reason, I then put a focus on developing meaningful relationships in my life at the time. I was 20 years old, turning 21, I guess, like the following year. And I prioritized meeting women and girls that also shared similar values to me. I realized at the time I wasn't the most honest and integrable person. And I wasn't like a liar. It wasn't like a forefront, like I'm going to be selfless. I'm going to act with integrity. I wasn't like that. And after the fact, I definitely prioritized those values. And so I went searching for those types of connections. And over time, since that age, I developed those relationships. And I saw my life shift over the past few years, especially since 2020, I would say, as my relationships have grown and they've flourished. And throughout my 20s, they've grown stronger. And I've had, you know, some friends fade out along the way as well. I've come to see that the core of who Emily is, of course, I've set the foundation of Emily individually, but then I've added the positive elements of amazing relationships into my life, both platonic and, you know, friendly, normal girl friendships and guy friendships, as well as romantic ones as they've come along, right? And I've seen the difference when you have everything but the relationships. When you have the success and you're financially stable and all of it, but you don't have the relationships or the connections. I've seen what it feels like to be on the other side. And I think that's why, for me personally, it always comes to top of mind and why I created this show, is because in everything we do in life, the core of why we enjoy it, the core of why we do it, is because of the people. It's because of the relationship we have to the people. In our work, in our line of work, the reason why people who are more typically more fulfilled in their job, whether it's because they work for themselves or they work for someone else, it's because they're so deeply connected to whatever impact their work does for other people, right? When I sold payroll at ADP, I loved it for two reasons at the time. I loved it because of the relationships I had with my coworkers. It made my job so fun, so easy to look forward to. The team had great energy. It made all the difference, to the point that these guys are still my friends. They recently texted me happy birthday. This is 4 years after the fact, right, of no longer working there, or 3 years, I guess. And the product I was selling, I knew it was actually a good product. I believed in it, and I still do, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's a big payroll HR product, but it was actually great. It was actually a superior product. So I knew that it actually did make an impact on the businesses that I helped and sold to. So I had a deep connection there. And at the end of the day, I think anything we do in life, if we don't understand how we impact the community around us, whether it's strangers or people we actually know, it can be really hard to connect to the purpose of what we're doing. Because sometimes the purpose might not be our life purpose, but it could be the purpose of our job or our role at the company, right? So to me, relationships really are everything, and they are the core of our fulfillment and why we do what we do, and why having loved ones makes such a difference, those connections, because you'll see that people who don't have that, unfortunately, there's a level of emptiness, there's a level of lack of purpose, there's a level of almost heading towards like a depressive state, really, and that can be dangerous. So definitely find a way to prioritize this. And one thing before I forget, I have to share too, a girlfriend of mine from college, her name is Nicolette, she recently sent me this very cute Galentine's card that I actually didn't receive or technically open up until after I came back from Paris not too long ago. So this is after Valentine's Day, but in the card, it was like for both Galentine's Day and for my birthday. And she wrote such a beautiful message in there where she just acknowledged our friendship and just acknowledged and showed me how she sees me as a person. And, you know, she's just one of those people. I have to put it out there because she was the main person at my 21st birthday many years ago. When I was turning 21, At the time I didn't have that many, like I started to have friends, but they weren't strong friendships yet, to the point that I remember, I think 2 or 3 people canceled on me last minute to show up to my birthday brunch for my 21st, okay? So obviously, I remember I was, you know, sad from the whole situation. And Nicolette at the time was a very new friend of mine. I met her, she was a sorority sister, and I met her during the recruitment process. So when, you know, you're an active member, you do recruitment, for those of you who aren't familiar with sorority or college in the US. And her and I were in the same group that you do recruitment with. And we bonded, we became really good friends. And I remember I invited her to my 21st birthday. I was like, hey, like I'm gonna do a 21st birthday brunch, would love for you to come. She's a brand new friend. And my birthday brunch was like 3 or 4 weeks later, probably like 2 or 3 weeks later, actually. She showed up. She came. She showed up. She was literally, and when my cake came out, which I got a custom cake for my birthday. It was beautiful, super fun. The cake came out and, you know, she was the only one there. I had another friend that came, but she was on a time constraint. So she actually left before the cake came out, but it was basically me and 2 other girls for my 21st birthday. And Nicolette was there through thick and thin, through college, through my breakup, through, my second breakup, like once I actually ended the relationship with the guy that I dated throughout college. And I spent Thanksgiving with her family 1 year, all of it. You know, she's truly one of those, like a girl's girl. And, you know, what is it? I guess 6 years later, here we are. She sends me this card. And it just goes to show how far amazing friendships and relationships can go, you know, if you put in the effort. And so it's something her and I have always done. We FaceTime each other randomly. We call each other randomly. We text each other when we feel like we haven't touched base. She's one of those people that will do that. And I love it because I will do the same. And so anyways, that's my quick, long rant about relationships. It goes a long way. And if you put in the effort early on, you never know down the line, 5, 6 years later, you can likely stay friends with the person and have a really amazing relationship with that person, even in different cities. The second lesson I have here is to pursue and follow what you are genuinely interested in. So I actually had this conversation with Ronnie Hay, who is on episode 264, where we're talking about career and business and entrepreneurship. And I highly recommend it if you are someone feeling a little bit stuck in your career direction. He really gave incredible insights on just direction as a whole. Anyways, though, he mentioned this on the episode, but it's something I also have read along the way and also reflected on heavily in my life. And, you know, something that he said about this topic is that you need interest in order to remain competitive, especially in the workforce and in your career. For example, you're never going to be more fit than someone who is obsessed and interested in fitness, because this person will eat, breathe, and sleep fitness or health or whatever that looks like. And if you are going to pursue, let's say, a business or a career in fitness, and you're not that deeply interested, then the person next to you who is more deeply interested will have better success and better outcomes in the long run than you do, because there is an innate interest in the actual topic or industry or whatever, right? And so it's something I look back on my journey, which hasn't been, you know, the fastest growing trajectory. But I will say, when we talked about it and I reflected on it, I realized that every choice I've made in my early mid-20s now, has all been around what I'm personally interested in. And that goes from my move to LA, my move to New York, pursuing my agency around social media branding and marketing and content strategy, and then this podcast as well, right? I remember a time in like 2020, 2021, a lot of people started, and even still to this day, a lot of people have been starting to launch podcasts because it became like a hype thing, right? And if you noticed, a lot of people actually died down before they even hit 100 episodes. And there's no shame in that, right? There's nothing wrong with it. But the reason why people die down, especially when they're not going to see immediate results yet, is because there's not this innate interest in doing it. It just seems like the best trend or opportunity to hop on during that time. And for me, the reason why I pursued podcasting, while of course would love to make this a full-time gig down the line, in whatever way that looks like, I've always had interest in podcasting because of the way it impacted my life, especially during the times I needed it. When I was 20 years old and had no friends and no community, I was listening to Tony Robbins and Ray Dalio and Tim Ferriss and Naval Ravikant and all these people that are cool thought leaders. And I was such a nerd for that, but I had no friends. I had nobody to, I guess, lean into. And by listening to these conversations, these high-level conversations, I was able to make drastic shifts in my life. And the main thing I wished I had at the time was maybe a little bit more of wise feminine conversations, if you will, but like not mom, like I didn't want to, not in any bad way, but I just didn't want to, I wanted younger females that had wise conversations that weren't yapping at the mic on stupid shit. I genuinely wanted to hear what I feel like I'm sharing with you guys now and providing now. And so with that innate intrinsic interest and desire, that's what has kept me going, right? And like Ronnie had shared on his episode, that is the only way you can remain competitive, because slight interest or even normal interest can and often leads to obsession. And when you are obsessed with something, when you can eat, breathe, sleep it, that's how you can outcompete the people that are in your field, right? And I'm not saying everything is a competition, but I'm saying this in the lens and conversation around pursuing what you do in life. And even if you are a girl right now and you're listening and you're not that keen on having a career for yourself or whatever that looks like, I do think it's still important to figure out something that you're deeply interested in and be able to spend your time and your life journey surrounding yourself in whatever that interest is, right? So I made note here, it doesn't matter if it turns into a high-paying career or gig or whatever, it's important that you build from the foundation of interest first. And over time, wherever that path leads you, you'll swerve, you'll turn right, you'll turn left, you'll adjust along the way, right? It won't stay on a linear path, but at least the foundation, fundamentally, you have interest in it. And of course, it can expand into different things. But this is why I always like to look back at what I was naturally drawn to as a kid and look at where I'm at in life now and what I'm naturally drawn to now, because often there's a lot of parallels and we can usually start from there if we're really stuck. So that's what I would say, is find what you're actually genuinely interested in and pursue some sort of direction there. My third core lesson is that your romantic partner is not meant to fill every bucket of your life. The founder of Array, if you know that company, Sif Hyder, I will link her episode in the show notes, but she's been on the show before, and she also explained this in the episode too. In fact, she's been with her partner for over 10 years now. I think they were dating since early college days, and they are in business together. They are co-founders of Array together and husband and wife. But she also did share that your partner is not meant to fill every bucket of your life, right? And I could not agree more. It's something that I'm very lucky to have adapted since I was 22, I would say, or 21 even. Once my ex and I got back together, we did kind of like distance. We were living like an hour apart, which is not that far in my opinion. And in California, I was still in school. And it enabled both of us, but primarily myself, to have my own life at school, to have my own girlfriends, to have my own people to go out to dinner with and do all of those things. And as a result, I wasn't codependent on my then partner while I was in college. I mean, he was also 2 years older and he was already working full time, but I wasn't codependent. He wasn't codependent on me. And in addition to that, neither of us were resentful towards one another for having unhealthy expectations if we did, right? Like, oh, this person should be who I spend 24/7 with. I think I kind of had that mentality in the early part of that college relationship of mine. And I think this is a good reminder for those of you who maybe are still inexperienced with relationships in your 20s, because they do differ from high school and college and adult life, right? So it's something to be mindful about is, one, when you dive into a more serious relationship, as you progress through the months of the early days of the relationship, make sure you are filling the buckets of the other areas of your life with other people and other activities, and that you're capable of doing it also without your partner, right? Because then it makes it more of a gift to be able to do those things with your partner. Let's say, I don't know, maybe it's like going to the gym, right? If you start out in the early days of dating someone where you go to the gym almost all the time together, you might not be aware that you're going to form an attachment to this idea that you can only go to the gym with your partner. And or maybe it's like this emotional attachment that like, oh, you really want your partner to come, and maybe you're not emotionally developed yet and you get upset that your partner can't come with you one time, right? Just giving examples out there, there's plenty of those, but all that to say, I had bad attachments. I think when I was 18, 19, 20, again, I was younger, but learned through all of that and was able to carry a lot of maturity into my relationships when I was in my early to mid 20s, which I think also is a big reason why I dated people that were older. And, you know, I just had a different view and was able to practice a little bit of healthier attachment styles in my relationships, and of course my current one as well, which I want to add as a tangent. In my current relationship, we do long distance. I say technically because it's like we see each other pretty much every 2 weeks. So for a quote unquote long distance relationship, and for those of you who are in one, you probably know that that's actually pretty frequent and doesn't necessarily equate to a typical long distance relationship. But I think one of the best benefits since implementing that since the beginning, I've noticed, I mean, for him, it was a little more difficult, I think, in the beginning, because it was something he was completely not used to. And in my prior relationship, we actually had a pretty, distant period between each hangout. Like, we would see each other maybe once or twice a week at most. And for some people, that's not the normal frequency. Sometimes it's 2 to 3, maybe even 4 times a week, right? But I had it pretty much like that for most of my relationships. And so I learned through those experiences that there's a lot of healthy attachments that come with it by having it early on in the relationship. And so for us, it's been really fun where we get to experience time together for 2.5 weeks at a time, like being together in the same space every single day, basically. And then we go 2 weeks off without seeing each other, right? And of course, we've gotten better at communication and having FaceTime date nights and all of that. And luckily, both of us are entrepreneurs and we're working a lot as well. So it helps with our workflow. But the best thing about the time apart too is that naturally we then, again, fill our life with, you know, in-person friendships. And for me personally, when I am in New York or traveling somewhere else to meet a girlfriend, I dedicate that time away from my partner to energize and fill my cup with those friendships. And then when I'm with my partner in those dedicated 2 to 3 weeks, whatever that looks like, I'm filling my cup with my romantic partner and, of course, activities that we do. You know what I mean? So again, it's going to vary per person, but I think it's very important to be mindful of how you are spreading your energy and which buckets are maybe empty and they need to be filled up a bit and how you can dedicate time to do so. My fourth life lesson for you guys is that only you know what's best for you. And this is especially coming from the lens of a child of Vietnamese immigrant parents and having to, or dealing with a lot of friction in my upbringing and up until maybe like the recent year or two with attempts to be told what I should do with my life. And parents, maybe more so a mom, trying to insinuate that they know what's best. And one thing I have to say, coming back to the relationships, I'm so grateful to have amazing friends in my life to be able to, A, support, emotionally support me through the difficulties of some of that dynamic and just hating the burden of, oh my God, why do I have to deal with a parent that just keeps trying to tell me what to do and this is just not, you know. Very, very lucky to have a support system that understands it, whether from personal experience or just being able to empathize, but then also caring about me as a friend to be able to support me in any way that I would need or want them to, or maybe just allowing me to share about it and get their thoughts on it, you know. So have to put a shout out to my friends on that one. But it's something I fought for a long time where it could have been, you know, I'll put it back to like even high school. I had it's like that college counselor for high school that helps you prepare for college. He told me something along the lines that I shouldn't apply to all these schools in Southern California. He kind of tried to convince me not to go to school in California, from what I recall, to be honest. And in all good intention too, I don't think it was in any malicious way, but I just, number one, he didn't know much about California. And number two, I think that he saw that I was applying to primarily California schools and maybe thought I had all my eggs in one basket and thought that was dangerous. But needless to say, it's one of those things where I was like, no, I know this is the direction I want to go in. I know I want to go to school in Southern California. And that's why I applied to all these schools, right? And same thing, my parents, primarily my mom at the time, she really wanted me to go to this school that I got in through, you know, this complicated like program. It was USC. I got in where I would have to go abroad to like London or Paris for a year and then jump back in to the main campus sophomore year. And I think it was possibly even under the conditions that I had like at least a 3.7 GPA throughout that year. So there were conditions about it that I don't think my mom was actually that aware about. And all that to say, you know, even though USC at the time was my dream school, I really wanted to go there. I came to realize that it wasn't that big of a dream in the sense that I wasn't willing to go abroad for my freshman year just to go to this school. And I went with my own instincts. I chose the school that I wanted to go to. I ended up also just making the decision to transfer from that school. It was UC Irvine. And I transferred from there to Chapman and ended up on the path that I am at now. And, you know, again, there's a lot of decisions I made along the way. Moving to Los Angeles from Orange County, the major I was studying in, you know, so many different things that I can think of that I made decisions that were very against the grain. And luckily I didn't have strict parents per se in that regard, but there's something with Vietnamese culture that I've come to recognize, that there's a little bit of this belief in authority that parents should tell the kid what to do. And that's very different from Western American culture, where from what I've observed, a lot of American kids are maybe guided more, or they're shared insights and then given the autonomy to make the decision. Again, this is what I've seen in some of my friends, but I think it depends on the kid, obviously, how it turns out, right? But I knew myself and my desires at that age, and knew that this is the direction I'm gonna go in, and this is what's best for me. And what can be really hard is if you're someone like that and maybe still developing the strength to make the decisions and to actually go with that final decision on your own, and you're hearing the pushback, there can be some doubts, right? And so that's why I'm sharing this lesson, that only you know what's best for you. You might even have friends, for example, I can think of a friend right now where she's been told many times, or was, I guess, attempted to be talked out of maybe dating the guy that she's been with for quite some time. And she asked me about it, and I told her, you know, I am not one to give opinions on who you should be with and who you shouldn't. And most importantly, I don't think that's any friend's place to say, oh, I don't think he's good. You know, I think we got to be very mindful, because I told her, at the end of the day, who you pick, whether you marry him or whether you're dating him for a long time, you're the one that wakes up next to him, right? You're the one that makes that, you're the one that wakes up to the decision that you make, right? Your mom can say something, your best friend, your sister, your cousin, they can say, oh, I don't like him, or blah, 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 whatever. But you have to keep in mind, you're the one that wakes up to that person that you choose. So at the end of the day, only you know what's best for you. And Gary Vee said this many times too, but if you make decisions based on what other people think is best for you, down the line, you're going to see the dissonance of what you actually want to do with your life and what actually you're, and what you're actually doing. And then there's going to be resentment towards the people that advise you to do the thing that you didn't want to do, right? So that's why it's so important, even if there's initial friction, as I experienced, right? The college decision, the transferring, the who I was dating, the clothes I was wearing, like the places I was moving to, everything, like everything under the sun, I definitely got a lot of criticism and pushback for. But I went through enough alone time to know this is what I want, this is what's best for me. And with the amazing friendships and support system I've had, I was able to walk through the fire and go, you know what? The results will show on its own, whether that takes 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years, one day it will pay off, and I will be very happy that I listened to myself and not what other people wanted for me. So definitely keep that in mind if you struggle with making decisions like that. My fifth lesson is integrity means everything. And I kind of alluded to it earlier in regards to personal values and something I was seeking out when I was still in college. But, you know, I've learned over the years, but especially during that time in my life, that if you are not reliable with your word and who you show up as, people will slowly slip out of your life. And I've seen this actually on the flip side as well, in regards to how I slowly parted ways with people that could not be the same in the sense of honest and transparency and, you know, that word of being vulnerable to whatever degree, right? I think of a friend, or an ex-friend rather, that was close to me for like 2 to 3 years in college. And shared this story a long time ago, but in 2020, she one day randomly blocked me and unfollowed me on Instagram, like the whole ordeal. And this was someone that was supposedly close to me in college. And down the line, I learned that she had tried to, I don't know what the word best word would be, but just kind of like she tried to reduce, I guess, the friendship or hurt the friendship I had with someone else that was also a mutual friend of ours by talking poorly about me. And what's funny is that so the friend that told me about this and who I'm actually really good friends with still, but she told me that her now husband actually kind of saw these traits in this ex-friend of ours and had, you know, told her that he wasn't surprised that she had the epiphany that this person wasn't honest and was a little malicious in some ways. And I think same thing with me, you know, while at the time I was really hurt and confused by the way she just abruptly blocked me and everything, and which I kind of learned along the line was around jealousy. And I think couldn't manage to, again, upkeep similar values in regards to just being open and honest and transparent with who we are, right? She kind of was someone that operates in a bit of a facade, which to each their own. But if you are someone that is acting on a facade and presenting your way in a specific way to the world and to the people around you, it can be hard to keep up with someone in your life that isn't acting on a facade. You could maybe be resentful of them. You could be a little bit jealous. You could, you know, like just the alignment there, it just won't work long term. And so I think it works both ways. And Kevin O'Leary shared this too. He said that just don't lie. Just be honest, right? Just be honest from the very beginning, because it is a lot harder to remember whatever lie you said than to just be fucking radically honest and transparent from the get-go. And it's something I've followed ever since. And again, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I will say that it helps when you are not afraid of what other people think and you're just okay with being who you are. You're honest about who you show up as, you're honest about who you are as a person, and you're honest about what you say, you know? And just to extend it even further, it's actually one of the reasons why I have always been extremely mindful of when I say I love you to a partner. I have only had 3 boyfriends total, and I've only said I love you to those 3 people. And that's typically, I guess in my opinion, probably what I think is the norm. But I've always been very mindful of, I would only say such statement if I really full-heartedly meant that. And I also would want that from a partner too, as a receiver of it. If someone is telling me that and I am taking their word for that, I really hope that they're actually completely honest about that, right? Words I don't take lightly, actions I don't take lightly. And I think life becomes a lot easier and more congruent when you act and speak based on what is actually true to who you are and what you believe. And that's all I'll leave with that lesson. Number 6, fortune tends to favor the bold. This one's a big lesson for me because, you know, I look back on my life, especially over the past 7 years, and people often ask me, how did I get to this point? Is often one of the questions I get asked. And one of the biggest differences I notice between myself and peers is simply the action taking. I've taken a lot of ballsy risks, jumps, decisions in my life. And that includes the moves I've made. And I think especially though, I think back, I wrote this example down last year, 2023, I booked a 1-way ticket to Medellin, Colombia. I've never been to South America. I've never been just in that environment in general. I had no idea what I was expecting, but I was ready to just do something that's out of my comfort zone. And because of that one-way ticket and that trip, I met my now boyfriend. And after the fact, I actually ended up coming back to Medellin, Colombia, and I lived there for the rest of the summer. I lived there for about 2 months in total of the summer, but I was there for 2 weeks initially, and then I went back to New York and then went to LA for a short bit, and then I went back to Medellin, Colombia for like 6 to 7 weeks. And, you know, had I been afraid of going on a one-way trip and going to a place I've never been, I would not have met this person, despite the fact that we're actually from the same hometown in Pennsylvania. And we also have both been in different events and environments at the same time. Like, we probably had crossed paths at some point in Pennsylvania. We probably crossed paths in Miami because he lived there for 4 years. And for those of you who follow me, you probably know that I love to go to Miami kind of frequently. So we definitely had crossed paths. We talked about it before. But of all places, we meet in Medellin, Colombia, and timing probably played a role in that too. But again, I think a lot of the luck I've had in my life came from the bold decisions. And I think another big one too was moving to Los Angeles, which, by the way, I told myself I would never move there. I told my friends I would also never move to New York too. And part of the inspiration moving to LA was because I was more or less dating slash seeing a guy at the time. It was like for 2 months, but he was a cinematographer, a very good one, and he's done very big shows, many of which you guys have watched. But I won't say the shows because I just don't really want to give it away, but who the person was. But all that to say, I had such an eye-opening experience, you know, being involved with this person. And I remember he lived in LA at the time. I lived in Orange County, and I would, you know, be up in LA at times and would, you know, see him. And I started to see life in a more artistic lens, probably in part because of his cinematic views of life and creative direction and all that. And one day I was like, huh, I could actually see LA. And I have to admit, I was definitely like blinded a little bit about the guy. And ironically, the guy, he was moving to Austin at the time I was moving to LA. So actually, he wasn't the reason I moved to LA, but he was the catalyst, the interest. He was the catalyst for my interest. And that move, I remember I visited Venice. I was like, I could see myself here. Venice, California. So I did it in 3 weeks. The idea came up, and then that evening I looked at apartments, and then I think the next day or the day after, I went to go look at apartments. And then I came back, and then a few days later, I was like, came back to my apartment. I was like, I think I'm going to move to LA. And then I put in my 30-day notice, and I prepared for the move. I literally moved to LA, which is like a 45 to 1 hour drive north from where I lived at the time, and packed my shit, went up there. And yeah, you know, and that move then accelerated the direction of my life and accelerated my business, my entrepreneurial endeavors. And I felt stagnant. I did feel stagnant in Orange County. I needed a physical change. And all of it came at a really good time. That was when I became good friends with my friend Ronnie, who was on episode 264, and all of it. So fortune tends to favor the bold. Make those bold decisions, even if your parents say no. My mom at the time really, really, really was not okay with me moving. Mind you, I was 3,000 miles away from where she was, and I'm like, I'm going to do it anyways, you know, but it can be hard, especially for those of you with cultural differences with your parents, or, you know, maybe you have immigrant parents or first generation, second generation. I get it. I've been there. But yeah, Gotta do what's best for you, and oftentimes you'll reap the dividends down the road. Last but not least, the seventh and final lesson in reflection of my 27 years, true friends that are really there for you will put in the effort one way or another. So I alluded a little bit earlier to friendship and the importance of relationships and all that, but I think this one is so pertinent to me, especially in my 20s, because I think it's really easy to focus on other areas of life and really try to learn from people in these other areas of life, whether it's like romantic dating or career building and decision making and all of that. But a topic that I will say that I think I hear very lightly is around friendships and falling out, and especially for women. Because this is definitely different for women and girls than for men. Okay, let's be honest with this one. And, you know, like I said earlier, my friend Nicolette, she showed up for my 21st birthday at a time that we were still really early in our friendship. And she shows up 7 years later or 6 years later, you know, with a card in my mail and just thinking of me for Galentine's Day and thinking of me for my birthday and checking in on me and all of that. And I say this as well as I think about that former friend I had that like one day just randomly blocked me. And I truly mean it. It was a very random occurrence. And I think about people that even fell out of my life like over the past 2 years. You know, and some of them like were once kind of close, but then like they don't send you a happy birthday. Like those things add up, right? But I don't hear a lot of women talking about it as much. And I just want to say that if you are ever curious about who are the real friends that belong in your life, just observe their actions, right? And I've always been one to put in the effort first and to make plans and take initiative in reaching out to someone. I've never been afraid of that. And I also don't believe in the, okay, I did this last time, so you should do this to me now. I don't really believe in operating like that. But I will say, just like in dating, just like in anything, really, reciprocation is important. People put their money where their mouth is. If they are actually, if they really want to talk to you, if they really care, they'll make the small effort to send you a birthday text or send you a card or send you flowers or just even reach out to say hi or whatever, right? Or just even after like 8 months, even if it's been a long time, they will still realize like, oh, I haven't talked to this person in a long time. Let me see how they've been, right? Those are the people you want to invest in and you want to reciprocate, and you shouldn't be afraid to take initiative with either. And it's okay if you come to realize like that some people that you once thought could be a long-term friendship might not be, right? And for me personally, this actually happened with someone that I was a bridesmaid in her wedding, and I haven't talked to her since her wedding. And it's been, you know, enough, like more than almost 2 years now since the event. So it's been a long time, enough for me to say like this is not anything recent. But it just goes to show that unfortunately, sometimes people just slip like that. And sometimes it's just, you know, timing of life and values and whatever. But all that to say, you know, if people care, they will show the effort. And I think that is super important to remember so that you don't waste time giving your energy to people that don't care about your effort and energy. There are plenty of people out there that are willing to receive and reciprocate the love and friendship and awesome energy that you have to give. So remember that. as you deal with any friendship conflict in your life right now or in the future as it may come up, just remember that true friends that are really there for you will put in the effort one way or another. So that was all for today's episode on my 7 wise lessons of life as a 27-year-old. I hope this resonated with you. I hope you found this helpful to listen to. I hope you learned something, you had a takeaway. If you found this enjoyable and worthwhile to listen to, it would mean the world if you can share this episode with a friend. This helps spread the word about the podcast. It helps keep the podcast afloat if you want to keep hearing new episodes. So please be sure to share this with friends, colleagues, and of course on your Insta story. And if you do, tag the podcast Instagram at What Fulfills You. And for those of you who didn't know, you can actually now watch episodes on YouTube, particularly the ones with guests. There are past episodes from previous years that are still slowly being uploaded, so you will see that come out as you are subscribed, but you can definitely catch the latest guest episodes all on the YouTube channel. Just search What Fulfills You or just head to the links in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in to today's episode. I will chat with you all next time.